Remain standing, please, for the reading of the scripture. And the scripture today comes from Matthew, the fourth chapter, and it tells us how Jesus called his first disciples. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called to them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Would you please be seated, and may I introduce our youth and family minister, Ray Davis.
I'm going to be honest and say that this is the first time in a traditional worship setting that I've ever gotten the Holy Spirit goosebumps. And I promise you that the Holy Spirit is with us today. Well, good morning. For those of you who don't know me, and for those of you who maybe just forgot who I am, I'm the Director of Youth and Family Ministries here. I've been here about 4 years now, and it surely is an honor to be given this opportunity to speak to the whole congregation at once, and our special guest, and Fred's special guest as well. It's also an honor to be given this privilege to preach on the day where we honor our preacher for 5.5 years. So for that, I am thankful. The theme for today, for this service and for the following luncheon, is casting your net in a bigger pond. The SBRC committee came up with this theme, I think, for two reasons. The first reason is that Pastor Fred's favorite hobby is fishing. And secondly, because Pastor Fred has been promoted to the new district to be the new district superintendent of the Salisbury District, which will certainly be a bigger pond than Lewis, Delaware. Now, as I've been thinking about this message and theme for a few months now, I couldn't think of a better scripture lesson than Matthew 4, 17 through 22, which was just read, where Jesus is calling his first disciples, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, to stop being commercial fishermen and to become fishers of people. I want to start today by telling you a funny fishing story that happened to me. About 6 or 7 years ago, I had a little 15-foot John boat. It was set up for bass fishing, and me and my buddy Brian were fishing at Killens Pond State Park. Now, we had a good evening of fishing, and we are on our way back in to load the boat back up. Now, Killens Pond, I don't know if any of you have been there to the boat ramp. The boat ramp is nothing more than a sandy beach. And as we were coming in, the evening was winding down, there were three other guys loading their boats up as well. Even though it was a wide beach, there were, you know, four boats trying to get loaded up. It was kind of tight. And my little boat had one of those foot-operated trolling motors that needed pulled up before you could come into shore. So I pulled the motor up, and we were just kind of drifting in. And the water was just so clear that night. It's rare for Killens Pond for the water to be that clear. And I could see the bottom so easily. And I assumed that the water was probably only 8 or maybe 12 inches deep. It just was that clear. I could see the sand that close. So what I did was jump out of the boat to help get the boat organized so I wouldn't hit anybody else's boat. Well, what happened was the water was about 4 feet deep where I jumped out. And I went completely under. I had my cell phone in my pocket. And I probably said a few words I shouldn't have. And my buddy Brian, who was fishing with me, of course, thought the entire ordeal was hilarious. But I learned from that day forward to never jump out of the boat without at least putting my oar down to see how deep it is before I start. All right, well, certainly some of us probably have our own fishing stories that are funny. But today I want to dive into a different kind of fishing story. Now, our scripture was read from starting with Matthew 4:18. I want to start one verse sooner with Matthew 4:17. And it says this, "From that time on, Jesus began to preach, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near.'" Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. And I want to pause for a moment before we dive into the rest of the scripture and focus on what that was, really was. You know, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near, was the main focus of Jesus' preaching. It was the focus of his entire ministry. If you think you are a follower of Jesus and you don't really think about the kingdom of heaven ever, then you probably really don't understand what Jesus stood for. Now bear in mind, just before this particular scripture, Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River at the age of 30 by John the Baptist. We don't know a whole lot about his life prior to that. And then he went out into the wilderness in the desert of Jordan, and there he was tempted for 40 days and for 40 nights. Then he went to the north, to his hometown of Nazareth in the region of Galilee, and there he was rejected by his own people. Then he goes out from there, he walks 20 miles south to the Sea of Galilee, and at the Sea of Galilee he begins to preach. And this is the message that Jesus is preaching. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. And this is what he'll talk about over and over and over again. He'll tell us parables of the kingdom. He'll give us examples of the power of the kingdom. His entire ministry was about this phrase, repent, for the kingdom of God has come near. So what does that mean? What is the kingdom of God? Now, entire books have been written on this topic, but I just want to give you a small picture of what the kingdom of God really is, so we can understand it in this passage. Now, God has always been known by the Israelites as the king of the universe. Not just the king of the Israelites, but the king of the entire universe. God called the universe into existence and set for us the laws of nature that govern our entire existence on this planet. He set forth the principles that govern life here, and then finally created human beings. And he created us in his image to be citizens in his kingdom and to be his children. And then he makes clear to us that this is the path you should walk. And then if you do that, you'll be blessed and you'll have life and it'll go well with you. And yet, what we see from the very beginning with Adam and Eve and all the way through the Old Testament is that human beings are constantly turning away from God and rebelling against their king. They are choosing to go their own way and not follow him, even though they are warned not to do that. Because when God set forth the laws and rules, it wasn't about keeping us from having fun. It was about helping us have joy. It was like, here are the boundaries, and if you live within them, you will experience joy. And you'll experience the fullness of life. But if you walk outside of those boundaries, then you will experience danger. It's waiting for you, for all of us outside of those boundaries. And with the beginning, all the way back with Adam and Eve, we see that they chose to eat from the one tree they weren't supposed to eat from. And paradise was lost from that moment on, and that story is repeated in every single human being, including you and me, from generation on, over and over and over again. We know the things we should do, and we walk away from them, and that brings pain. We watch the evening news, and we see all the pain in the world, and we see the struggles that we all have in relationships, and we see the pain that that brings. We see the problems with people becoming addicted to booze or drugs or power or wealth or stuff, and we see all the pain that comes from that. You see, this is our human condition, and Jesus comes to start a movement to remind people that God is king. And he is a loving king, and the laws he set into motion are for our safety and for our good. Jesus is coming, and he's saying that the kingdom of God is near. It's all around us. It's even in us. So repent. Now, what does repent mean? Repent means to return. In essence, Jesus is saying, you have wandered away, but come back. I'm begging you to come back. Or repent also means to think differently. To have a change of heart that results in a change of behavior. That's Jesus' message. It's his movement. He is calling the human race to remember that God is king and to come back and have a change of heart that results in a change of mind. And that's where his ministry starts. And throughout the rest of his ministry, we see him illustrating this. For example, in the very next chapter, Jesus begins to preach this way. In Matthew 5, he goes on a mountain and begins to preach to people. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. And he's preaching to the people. And he says things like this. In the kingdom of heaven, the pure in heart are blessed. And in the kingdom of God, You are to act as salt and light and be a preserving agent and a healing agent. You are to go to be a light in the darkness of the world. In the kingdom of God, you do acts of kindness for those who are needy, and you help those who are poor and those who are hungry. And you do these things not to gain attention or to be looked upon favorably by others, but you do it because it's the right thing to do. Then he says, don't store up treasures for yourself on earth, because moths and rust will destroy them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. And this is what Jesus' message is. Now back to today's scripture. Jesus sees Peter and Andrew, and he sees James and John, and these guys are fishermen. Now they love to fish. Not only is it their job, but it's in their blood. It's how these guys are wired. They're fishermen. And Jesus came along walking by the seashore, and he's been preaching this message about the kingdom of God. And he sees these four fishermen, and he says to them, hey, I need your help. Now, this is kind of reading between the lines here, but he says, hey, I need your help. If this movement is going to be successful, then I need you to join with me, and I need you to become fishers of people. Now, I want you to notice at this point that Peter, Andrew, James, and John, they didn't know that Jesus was the Son of God. They didn't know that he was the second member of the Trinity. They didn't even know that he was going to die for the sins of the world. All they knew was that when this rabbi came along and spoke to them, that their hearts were moved within them, and they knew that this was a huge life-changing moment. And if they did not say yes to Jesus, then everything else would be different in their lives, and they would have missed out on what they were made for. So at that moment, they left their nets behind to go follow Jesus and become fishers of men. This is what we read in Matthew 4:18 through 22. It says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Now let's talk about fishing for people. That's really what I wanted to get to today. Now I love metaphors. Every time I preach, I tend to use metaphors. Every time I give a sermon to our youth group students, it's always about metaphors. But the problem with all metaphors is that they break down at some point, right? Now if we take the fishing for people idea very far, then you have us attracting people with artificial lures, you have us chopping off their heads, and then you have us filleting them and eating them. Now, that's not very Christian to me, but I'm not going to take that to the full extent, but I think what Jesus really had in mind was more of a catch-and-release situation. Now, with that in mind, this catch-and-release situation, imagine this. Imagine Jesus coming and catching people in shallow, stagnant, murky water where the stuff you need for the soul just isn't there. What Jesus is wanting to do for us is to take us out of this shallow, murky, gross water and release us into the deep, clear, beautiful, boundary-filled waters, which is the kingdom of God, where we can swim and we can experience the fullness of life. Now, that might be a good way of thinking about this idea of fishing for people. Now, this idea really became the charge for Jesus' 12 disciples and every other disciple who have come after them, including you and me. Now, why does this matter to us? Well, because if you consider yourself a Christian or a disciple of Christ today, then you are still called to be fishers of men. Every single one of us are called to be fishers of people. This is the way Jesus is going to change the world. He's going to use us. He uses us to continue on with this great message of the kingdom of God. In fact, Jesus' last commandment, right after he died on the cross and rose again, and right before he ascended into heaven, was the Great Commission. And it says this in Matthew 28:19 through 20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. You see, the Great Commission is our job. We're called to be involved in God's mission to bring the kingdom of God all around us. We are to live in the kingdom values and to be fishers of people. As I wrap up, I want to share two stories of just great examples of fishing for people for you. The first story starts all the way back in 1989. There was this young man named Doug Wiles. Now, Doug Wiles was and still is to this day a Lay's potato chip truck driver. He delivered potato chips for a living, and he still does. Now, being a Lay's potato chip truck driver wasn't the only thing that Doug Wiles did. He also was a volunteer youth worker with the organization called Young Life. And he fished for people as a volunteer. And there was this wild and crazy high school kid who lived just outside of Washington, D.C., named Scott Daly. Now, Doug Wiles got involved in Scott Daly's life. He mentored him. He nurtured him. And eventually, Scott Daly accepted Jesus into his life. And the reason I share that story with you today is because in 1996, I met Scott Daly because he was my Young Life leader in high school. He had become a fisher of people as well. And over time, with Scott Daly mentoring me and nurturing me and telling me stories of why his life was better because he knew Jesus, I eventually met Christ myself. And on July 3rd, 1997, I accepted Christ. And I've been a different person ever since. You see, the very reason I'm standing at this pulpit today was because all the way back in 1989, a Lay's potato chip truck driver named Doug Wiles decided to be a fisher of people. And he eventually caught Scott Daly, and Scott Daly eventually caught me. You see how it works? God uses us as fishers of people to continue on with this great commission. And for that, I am ever grateful. Now, my second and final story starts back in 1985. There was a State Farm insurance agent, a barbershop owner, and several other guys who met every single Thursday morning at Doyle's Restaurant in Selbyville, Delaware. And they met for a prayer breakfast. Now, these men were fishers of men. These guys were fishers of people. And they opened up this prayer breakfast to outsiders. They wanted to bring others in. And there was this young hotshot insurance agent named Fred Duncan. And these fishers of men invited him into this prayer group. And, you know, now Fred says with his very own words that in those days he was living a very selfish and worldly life. And these fishers of men, they mentored him and they nurtured him. And over some time, that ultimately led him to a relationship with Jesus. And that led him to get involved at Salem United Methodist Church in Selbyville. And his being involved with Salem United Methodist Church in Selbyville ultimately led to God's calling on his life to become an ordained elder in the United Methodist Church. Now, through many of his years of ministry, Fred has pastored, mentored, nurtured hundreds of folks as he has been a fisher of men. And now, just in a few weeks, he's going to be the new district superintendent in the Salisbury District and our former pastor who we're honoring today. And I promise you, Fred is going to continue to fish for people as God leads him on this new ministry journey as well. You see, folks, as Christians, as disciples of Christ, fishing for people isn't optional. It's how the world changes. Now, you may be saying to yourself, I'm no preacher. I can't tell you about Jesus. And I'll say to you that you are wrong. You see, I just consider myself just a dumb redneck that Jesus saved, but not from being a dumb redneck. And Pastor Fred was just an insurance agent. But God chose to use us, and he can certainly use you. Now, the only thing you need to become a fisher of people is to be willing. And all you need to be able to say is how Jesus has made a difference in your life. You don't need to know the Romans Road to Salvation. You don't need to know the bridge illustration. You don't need to know hundreds of scriptures. All you need to know is how to be able to say that your life is better because you know Jesus. I'm going to close with that. Now I'm going to ask you to stand for our closing hymn.